We're going to look at that, and we'll sing a song, and then Paul will come up to give us his word, the Lord's word. So it's Ephesians 6, and it's chapters 10 to 17, and it's on page 979 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow in the Bible. So that's Ephesians 6, chapters 10 to 17. The whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is God's sovereign word. May he bless it, and may he give us a real understanding of it.
Hello, it's good to be here to share the word of God with you. I might need Benny's glasses for the end of time. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know Christ as your Saviour. We've been really enjoying these Friday fellowship nights. The one before last, with a testimony time, where around the room we asked anyone that wanted to share about their faith in Christ to open up their hearts and be able to talk about how they came to know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour. I'm sure everyone that was there can say it done our hearts good to hear about how people were saved. Everyone had a different experience. My wife's had 6 children, and people say to her after each one, "Oh, you've been through it all before." But she keeps saying, everyone's different. Every new birth is different as well. Everyone is unique in the way that they come to Christ. It's the same way for every one of us. We come through Christ. But it's unique, every single person's experience of coming to the Lord. You speak to midwives that have delivered hundreds of babies, and they say, everyone's a miracle. And every new birth is a miracle as well. People are looking for the fantastic and the miraculous. And the miraculous is in the new birth. There's nothing more miraculous than someone being saved and put on the road to heaven. We heard stories at the group about people who were recently saved. And it's refreshing, isn't it, to hear that God's at work today. That he's bringing people from darkness to light. That they're able to talk about doubts and fears and depressions, and to be able to say that they've come to a place of peace and they're able to hand everything over to God. I'll tell you, that does your heart good, no matter how long you've been on the road as a Christian. Just to hear about people coming to the Lord, it lifts your heart and gives you hope. There was a man I knew, Quinton Johnson, who used to preach at the Mound in Edinburgh. He says at 21 years old, he went into church an atheist, and he came out a believer. One sermon, he was convinced that there was a God, and he came out a believer. And he says, as I went to church the next week and told others about my experience, some of them looked at me as though I was mad. He says, but other ones connected with me, and they told me about their experience of meeting Christ. And he says, when they told me their experience of meeting Christ, it confirmed to me that the faith that I had was a real faith. God used that to strengthen that young man's faith. His faith was the same as others that had come to Christ. We'd like to encourage you tonight. It's not a complicated theological dilemma to come to Christ. You don't need to know Greek or Hebrew. You don't need to know all the chapters in the Bible or how to find out where things are in the Bible. It's in Christ that we find that forgiveness. Just as you are, he wants you to come, realizing your sinful condition, that every one of us have broken God's commandments. I was telling Benny that my brother was up at the mound just a couple of years ago. They brought £20 out of his pocket. And he says, I'm going to give £20 to anybody that can prove to me they're a good person. And people started to queue up when they seen the £20 note. It's amazing how quickly Scotsmen will queue up to get £20. And he gave them a mic as well. And he said, I'd just like to ask you a few questions. The first guy says, I'm a good person, he says. And he gave him a mic. And he says, can I ask you to ask this honestly before God, have you ever told a lie? And the guy looked a bit sheepish. He says, well, maybe white lies or fibs. My brother says, oh, they've got colours of lies now. But he says, right, you've told a lie. He says, have you ever in your whole life stolen anything, irrelevant of its value, whether it was a biscuit out your mum's tin, whether it was at the pick and mix at Woolies? Can see a few people blushing. He says, have you ever stolen anything in your whole life? And he says, I must admit there's little things I've taken. He says, what would we call people that stole things? He says, I'm not a thief. And he says, wait a minute, he says, if I was to steal things, he says, what would you call me? He says, maybe a thief. Sometimes easier for us to see things in someone else rather than ourselves. He says, now you're a strong young man. He says, I can see that all. Testosterone, if I can say the word, bouncing around. He said, could you say from puberty till now, he says, you've never looked at a woman to lust. And the guy put his head down. He says, well, I have to say, I have. He says, now that's only 3 of the 10 commandments, and you've already admitted you're a lying, thieving, adulterer. Do you want me to go on? He says, no. He says, listen. He said, if God was to judge you by these 10 commandments, he said, do you think he would find you innocent or guilty? And the guy said, well, I suppose I would have to say guilty. And his face started to change, like he'd never experienced that before, realizing where he was before God. He said, being found guilty, do you think a holy God would need to send you to heaven or to hell? And he looked and he says, hell. And he says, supposing, he said to this young man, he said, you'd been caught shoplifting in Edinburgh. He says, you've already admitted you're a thief. He said, supposing you'd been caught shoplifting, you're taken up to the sheriff court and you've got £1,000 fine to pay and you've got no money. The guards are just about to take you down to the cells for a short prison stint when suddenly someone you don't know comes into the courtroom and says, hold on a minute, I'll pay his fine. And they count out £1,000 in cash. And my brother said to this young man, how would you feel about the man who had paid your fine? He said, I'd feel a gratitude, but he said, I'd feel a wee bit suspicious as well. My brother says, that's just what people are like with Jesus. You see, he's paid the fine that we deserve to go to hell. We deserve to be punished. That God's Son paid the fine that we deserve and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And yes, we're suspicious. Yes, we wonder and amazement at God's love for a sinner like me. But when you accept that free gift of God, there's a tremendous peace comes into your heart and into your life. That's what comes through faith in the Lord Jesus. When we come into the path of faith, God gives us amazing things. He pours things into your life that you've never experienced before. I was just thinking of some of them. His Holy Spirit. We often don't like to mention the Holy Spirit in Presbyterian circles. But God has given us the gift, as believers, of the Holy Spirit to live within our bodies. What a privilege. When people get engaged, they often have an engagement ring. The woman has an engagement ring. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as God's promise of something spectacular to come. He gives us an engagement ring. And that engagement ring is the Holy Spirit. It's a promise of blessings that God is going to pour out on all those that love Him. He gives us the Word of God. You know, it's a tremendous privilege. You read about stories in the Cold War where people were stealing bits of Bibles and smuggling them into their cells because they valued God's Word so much. They memorized passages of the Bible because they were frightened in case they would never have the Word of God in their hands again. And yet I've got about 10 Bibles in the house. What about you? Do you value your Bible? Do I value my Bible more than any other treasure that's in the house? When they phone up and say, have you got any valuables in the house? I wonder what they would say if you says, yes, the Bible. You think of your laptop, you think of your TV, your flat screen. But you know, it's a tremendous thing when we can say our most treasured possession is our Bible. This is maybe an important call, hold on. And our phones as well, they're important. We ensure everything. But the important thing is the Word of God. It's a treasure that God has given us. But I was thinking this week, it's not long till we're into the Christian pathway when suddenly you start to want to share your faith, don't you? You get this fire within your belly. You want to tell someone else about Jesus. It may be a friend or a relative or a neighbour, but there's a fire begins to go on within the Christian that they want to share the good news about Jesus. And as soon as that fire is in your belly and you start to share God's Word, you realise that you're in a tremendous battle. You realise that there's a war going on. And the Bible speaks in vivid terms about the battle. It talks about armour. Benny was reading to us from Ephesians 6 that a Christian is in a battlefield. Imagine God describing this wonderful peace, the joy, the gifts that He's given us. And then He goes on to describe the Christian's pathway as like a battlefield. My nephew was telling me a couple of years ago, he's in the Marines in Helmand Province. There was a young man, took off his hat to wipe his brow and was shot in the forehead and was killed, 22 years old. That battle's real. It shocks us when we hear about a young man taken from the world so suddenly. But I wonder if it shocks us when we hear God telling us, listen, you are in a battle. The battle's for your soul and for your testimony as a believer. The devil wants to ruin your faith, ruin your testimony, wants to fill you with doubts. And what I'd like to encourage us with today is that God has given us tremendous resources to enable us to stand in this world, to know that we belong to Christ, that we're safe, that we're secure, that we've got an offensive weapon even, though I'm not carrying a knife or anything. But spiritually, we've got an offensive weapon. In the Screwtape Letters of C.S. Lewis, I've spoke about this before, but there's an older devil It's like a picture of the spiritual warfare that's going on. And he gives this picture of an older devil speaking to a younger devil, planning how they're going to trip Christian up. And as they're battling, the older devil says to the younger devil, he says, put all these trials on him and all these troubles on him, and that'll get him, that'll try his faith. We'll see if then he's trusting in his God. And he puts all these terrible trials on Christian, and eventually Christian gets so distraught that he gets down on his knees and begins to pray to the Lord. And the older devil comes to the younger devil. He says, look at him. Look at him. It's disgusting. He says, because there was never a prayer that was as sweet to God as the prayer of that Christian when he's in trouble or when he's going through a difficult time. And you know, there's nothing more precious to God than when you're in a time of trouble or fear or worry and you just lift up your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Strengthen me, Lord. Get me through this. You maybe can't say a whole prayer even, like Peter when he was in trouble in the water. He just said, Lord, save me. And the Lord was able to hear that prayer and put his hand out and grab hold of Peter. And sometimes in the night, when you're in fear and trembling, you can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. And the Lord can give you a deliverance from any trial. Peter, the apostle, he says this to the Christians, these scattered Jewish believers that were being persecuted for their faith. He said, the devil is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you've ever heard a lion roar, but I remember once my wife and I took our son Paul into the zoo. We had got an annual pass one year, and sometimes we used to go in at night. We used to live out that side of the city, and just at the last at night we'd sometimes go into the zoo, maybe just for half an hour to go, and it was starting to get dark. We went up to the lion's cage, we wheeled Paul in the buggy near the glass, and we were chatting away. The next thing, he started crying. I looked round and there was a lion. They seemed to come alive at night, roaring at the glass. And as it roared, the very ground shook. It's a scary thing to hear a lion roar. But the Bible says the devil is going about making a roaring noise. He's seeking whom he can devour. If you're not a Christian tonight, and you've never come to that point of accepting Christ, it's like going into the battlefield with no armour on. Can you imagine the swords flying and the arrows flying, and you've no shield, you've no helmet, you've no breastplate, you've nothing to protect you, and you're going out into the battlefield? Neither wonder people are in distress. Neither wonder the Royal Edinburgh Hospital is full of people that are in despair of their very lives. Because the devil is seeking what lives he can destroy. He says, gird up the loins, fasten up the loins of your mind. And it says, have our minds, our loins girt with truth. And if there's ever been a day in the armour when it says, gird up your loins, your very feelings as a man, gird them up with truth. He says, because the devil is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. At school, our children are hearing about evolution. How that with the progression from apes to man. What a terrible thing to be teaching children that we came from apes. As someone said, and the evolutionist thought, we began as a rock. I've often said to people, if you want to believe your grandfather was a monkey, that's up to you. But I believe in Adam and Eve. What an attack about the very creation of God. About the very fundamentals of Christianity, about God's word being the truth from Genesis to Revelation. Churchmen are denying parts of the Bible. Churchmen are denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. People are saying that there's many ways to heaven and to peace with God. The Bible tells us from the truth of God's word that there is but one way, and that is through Christ. So we're in a battle, he's saying, gird up your loins, fasten them up with truth. Not in human religion, but in the person of Christ. Get your mind set on where you're going. In the Old Testament, there was a woman called Ruth. She had been through a terrible experience. Her husband had died, and her sister's husband had died. Her father-in-law had died, and her mother-in-law, who was a believer, was going back to Israel again, to the place of faith. And this Naomi, she says to these two daughters-in-law, Ruth and the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, she said, listen, why don't you just go back to your gods? Because they came from a nation that had a multiplicity of gods, not just one god. She says, why don't you just go to return to your gods? And one of the sister-in-law decided, even though she was sad and she was close to Naomi, she thought, really, she says, I want to go back to my gods. And it says this in Ruth in chapter 1 and verse 15. She says to her, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. It's like Naomi was testing to see if she'd really accepted the Lord as her Saviour, or God as the Saviour. But this is what Ruth said, and this is the kind of truth that we need within our soul. Do not urge me to leave you, or from returning from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. And may the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. What a statement of faith. Hundreds of years before Christ was even on the scene, here's a woman saying, God's people are going to be my people. Have you come to that point in your life with the truth where you're saying, I'm settled about this faith question. God's people are my people. I'm not between two opinions anymore. I'm saying, God's people are my people. Your God is my God. What a tremendous thing. To be in a relationship with God. To say about a Christian friend, listen, I've heard about your faith before, but now I want to say there's another stage that's happened in my experience. Your God is my God. You've told me about this peace that you can have. I've received it. Your people are my people. Your God's my God. I'm going to be with where you're dwelling from now on. You've changed camps. You belong to the Lord. You're part of His kingdom, His people. You belong to the Lord. Have you changed camps? Have you said, I'm part of the God's people? That's the truth. You see, the enemy is careful to get inroads in our lives. He's wanting to ruin your faith and your trust in the Lord. He tries to prize doors open that have long been shut as Christians. You could be on the road 20 years. And you see, when I was a young Christian, I put away pornography, I put away drunkenness, I put away all these sins, and I was on fire for God. And it could be 20 years, 30, 40 years down the line. The devil knows our weaknesses, and he tries to prise open those doors that long were shut, and to ruin our testimony, and ruin the how people see us as belonging to the Lord. What's the answer to these things? What's the answer to the attacks of the enemy? The Bible says to be established in the truth. Have our loins girt with truth. Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that you hear in the Bible or you put on the God channel and say, here's someone talking about this, I'll grasp onto it. Your faith is steady because it's founded in the truth of God's word. The Bible says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is being right with God. If you're going to stand on the battlefield, if you're a Christian today, that is going to be attacked at every hand. We need to realize that our righteousness is not in the good things that we do. It's not in coming to church. It's not in doing good deeds. But it's in our righteousness is in Christ. A breastplate of righteousness protects all your vital organs like your heart, your lungs, everything that can be attacked. It says in Matthew 22, there's a parable about a wedding garment, a man with a wedding garment. He had this guy in the olden days, in the Jewish times when there was a wedding, the bridegroom would send out wedding garments for the party to wear, and they were to wear special robes. And it says that the bridegroom came in and he saw a man that had got into the wedding feast, and he never had a wedding garment on. He wasn't invited. He tried to come in something of his own standards or his own righteousness, thinking he was quite a good person. And it says that when the bridegroom saw him, he said, get him out of here. And Jesus speaks about in the last day, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth when people who came in their own righteousness, thinking they were upright and godly, and they had never realized that they were sinners and submitted to Jesus. It says that he'll say, depart from me, I do not know you. And if we as Christians want that security to stand before a holy God, we need to be firmly sure that our righteousness is not our own, but it's in the person of Christ. A robe of righteousness, Isaiah describes, he'll take away those filthy rags of our own good works, and he'll give us a robe of righteousness. It says this, having your feet shod or dressed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen to this. What a challenge for us as Christians. This is what a writer called Ironside says. He's not the policeman that used to go about in the wheelchair. He's a Christian writer. He says, having your feet shod with a joyful readiness to propagate the gospel of peace. I'll say that again, having your feet shod with a joyful readiness to propagate the gospel of peace. Is that where we're at as Christians? There's a fire in your belly because you belong to the Lord. The devil will do anything to put that fire out. destroy your peace. He'll destroy your joy. He'll do anything, any attack he can. He'll point out the mistakes that we've made in the past, even as Christians, and try to get his darts, his flaming darts into us, so that we're ineffective. Don't give up that fire in your belly. You know, up till maybe a few months ago, I think the fire in my belly had started to go out. I started to lose heart with the gospel. And Benny came to sand my floors. And he talked about getting involved in God's work again. I used to go out and preach the gospel in the streets. And you'd realise the opposition when you go out to preach the gospel in the streets. Even the Christians say there's a better way. There's a better way. Not any way, but not preaching. And you do feel the opposition when you stand up in the middle of a street and proclaim the name of Christ. But I got a bit disheartened with things. And when Benny came to my house and sanded the floors, we talked about what we'd been involved in the Lord's things. And we talked about starting off a little group. And that was the sort of the start of the Friday fellowship. And it's just been such an encouragement to meet together with other Christians and people who are seeking the Lord and just to share the gospel again. So the devil can get us all down at times. He can make you ineffective. He can make you obsolete as far as spiritual things are concerned. But don't be in despair, because God can kindle that fire within you. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. And I'm sure there's many Christians here that have been where I've been and feel ineffective. And God can bring another Christian along and he can stir up that gift. Did you used to give out gospel tracts or leave them in places and you've been discouraged? Rekindle the fire again. God can use these silent messengers. If you once shared your faith and you've become discouraged, don't despair, because there are people being turned to the Lord. He's promised he'll build this church, and even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take care where our feet take us. The devil wants to ruin our testimony. People are watching us Christians to see where we're going and how we're living. And our feet can take us to places that the gospel of peace shouldn't be. I've been to places as a Christian where the gospel of peace has not taken me. Be careful to have our feet shod. If you're in a place, you should, no matter where it is, you should always have that readiness to share the gospel. A joyful readiness to share the gospel of peace. If that, the place that you're in is not a place where you can share the gospel, you need to say, is that a right place for a Christian to be? I love the next part of the armour, because often I've found myself being assaulted by the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the Roman times, they used to have hollow wreaths, and they would fill these wreaths with flammable liquid, and the archers would fire these wreaths at a man's armour. And you've seen it on some of these old films, they would burst into flames, and some of these men were cooked alive inside their armour. They were so heavy and confined, and when the flammable liquid went in, it would find an entrance wherever there was space, and they were basically cooked alive in their armour. It's horrific. Spiritually speaking, it can just be as horrific to be cooked alive as a Christian. A fiery dart that's fired into you and can spread its poison through your system. And it may be bitterness. It may be resentment. It may be anger. It may be jealousy or pride. But the devil can fire those darts into you, and you could be walking around unaware that there's a dart in your body, and slowly that poison is seeping through you. The Bible speaks about a root of bitterness that can defile other people. It's so bad that can defile other people round about you. The darts of the enemy can come when you're reading the Word of God. Such a noble thing to pick up your Bible and to start to read it. And it's just at that point the fiery dart is hurled at you. Don't believe it all. Don't believe from cover to cover it's God's Word. And He'll fire those darts and they'll start to penetrate through you. And before you know where you are, there's doubts and fears and there's pain. And you start to question whether you really are a Christian. I'm a guy that's had some of these darts fired at me and began to question my own salvation. Take heart today, because God has given us a shield of faith. He says He's given us a shield of faith that you can hold up, and it says that you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Have you had these darts seeping through you, ruining your Christian faith and bringing you into doubts and fear? The Bible says, put up the shield of faith. Start to memorize passages of Scripture. Get a promise Bible from the Faith Mission bookshop and read the promises of God. And as you begin to read these promises of God and to let them sink into you, when those fiery darts come up, I love to hold out that shield of faith and say, I give to my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Take that, devil. I will never leave you when you're feeling lonely. I will never forsake you. Hold up the shield of faith when the devil tells you you're all alone. He that comes to me, Jesus said, I will never cast him out. Are you doubting that you're a Christian? The Lord has promised, whoever comes to him, he will never cast him out. Put up the shield of faith. Joshua 1 says, I will not abandon you. I will be with you. What a promise. Benny was saying at the group on Friday that he'll let you down, I'll let you down. Other people will let us down. But the Lord will never let you down. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I am with you, Isaiah, he says in Isaiah. I am always with you, he says in the Psalms. What wonderful promises, what a shield of faith. Hold it up to the devil, learn the promises of God. Memorize the Word of God, 7,000 promises in the Word of God, there's probably more. It says, put on the helmet, which is the hope of salvation, guarding our mind from doubts and fear. It says we've got the faith as an anchor to our soul that's steadfast and sure. Peter says we're born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's alive, and we'll live as well. He says, take to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the offensive weapon I was talking about. The Bible describes the Word of God as quick, it's living, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. There's no other book, you read it and you feel like you've been turned inside out. You feel God's challenging you and speaking to you. He's encouraging you, He's lifting you up. It's powerful and it's real. And it's not just the Bible, is the sword of the Spirit, but it's the Bible that has been made your own, and you've taken in, you've read it. An old man said to me once, you'll only get out your basket what you put into your basket. And God will never give you scriptures that you've never learned, or you've never appreciated and made your own. There was once King David was on the run from Saul, and he was running for his life, and it says he went into the temple where the priests were, he was just in fear. Saul was after him with an army. He didn't even have a weapon. And he said to the priest, is there any swords here? After they'd eaten some of the priest's showbread and things. And he says, we've only got one sword here. He said, it's that sword that you used to cut off the head of Goliath. Can you imagine David's heart when he heard that? He says, give me that sword. He said, there's none like it. And that's what it means to prove the word of God, to make it your own. David had proved that sword. He'd cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. And he knew what that sword was like. He knew what it could do. And when you're encouraged by something in the Bible, write it down. Make it your own. And that's your sword, your offensive weapon. There's none like it. And you'll remember, you that have been Christians for a while, there's a scripture that's helped you in a troublesome time. And that scripture is yours. I remember back in the 80s, there was quite a fear going on with the Cold War, and Russia was a real threat. There was this thought that any moment the bomb could go off. There's a young man, it was worrying me. And I was praying to God as I was going to a Christian meeting. I says, God, I'm worried about these bombs and Russia and all the tensions that are going on, because it was quite real at the time. And I remember going into a meeting, and this guy was preaching, and he was preaching from Daniel, and he says, God rules in the kingdoms of men, and he appoints whoever he wants. God rules. And immediately my heart was at peace. I thought, it doesn't matter who's on the government in Russia or America or who's got their fingers on the button. Our God, the sovereign Lord, is in control. It doesn't matter if it's an independent Scotland or a united Britain. God is on the throne. And he's got his finger on the buttons. He'll move the people to vote where he wants them to vote. And there's no one in authority, it says in Romans, except God places them in that position. So I'm not saying don't vote, but rest assured when you are voting that it'll be God who decides, not man. He's in overall control. And that word came to me at give me peace in my heart and give me peace in my mind. It was a promise from the Word of God. I've never forgotten that God rules in the kingdoms of men. Make the Word of God your own. Prove it and use it. It says at the end, it says prayer for all the saints. And he says grace with all them that love the Lord Jesus with sincerity, without hypocrisy. Prayer is the most important weapon the Christian has. And it's one of the hardest things to do. It's the most unnatural thing to do. I've never met a Christian that's never struggled with prayer. I struggle with prayer. I've got to wrestle in prayer at times, and I feel like I'm speaking to the ceiling. But you pray on and you pray, and you've mountaintop experiences when you feel God really listening to you and you're enjoying fellowship with God. But the Bible says pray for all the saints. In the Bible you don't need to be canonized to be a saint. Every Christian that belongs to the Lord is someone that's set apart for God. That's what a saint means. And Paul is saying pray for all the saints. pray for every Christian. And we really need to pray for each other, because there's none of us. You look at somebody, you think everything's going okay for them. Everyone's got their problems, and their families, and their personal life, and their work life. You don't know what's going on in people's lives just by looking at them. But we really need to pray for each other and encourage each other, because the devil is going about. We're in a battle. Take our shields of faith. Quench those fiery darts that are attacking you today. And in this coming week, keep our trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to pray now, and then we'll finish with a hymn in Heavenly Armour. God our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. It says in that passage, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we sense that tonight, our God and Father, we feel that we're no match for the enemy. But in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his might, we can lift up our shield of faith, and we can quench those darts when the enemy is seeking to cook us alive, God. Keep us close, Lord, to the Lord Jesus. Let us be praying for each other as well. Lift up our hearts to put one and another on our hearts to pray for, Lord. For we know that that's the most powerful weapon in the Christian's armoury. We thank you for Christ Church. We pray, as they have a testimony here, that you would bless the word of the gospel. We pray that you'd give them fruits for their labours, God. And as they week by week preach the word of God, we pray that souls would be saved and saints would be encouraged as they hear the word proclaimed. So be with us tonight, Lord. Let us know your presence in a very real way amongst us, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.